Welcome to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, today featuring her sister, best-selling author, speaker, and holistic physical therapist, Sally Morgan. Are you looking for a deeper connection with your animals, exploring options in alternative healing modalities, searching for training options that you feel good about? Listen now to Sally as she interviews the top experts that answer your questions to help keep your pets naturally healthy.
Hi, this is Sally Morgan. Hello, and you are listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets. And I'm Sally Morgan, Dr. Judy Morgan's sister, a holistic physical therapist for pets and people, and your host today. You can hear this show every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on DreamVision7Radio.com. And today I'm here with my guest, Tracy Vroom. And I can't remember when I met Tracy. I have known her so long. She has been in my life as a really significant person since at least around 2003 or two. And it's one of those things that when you meet a person that you just are so in sync with, it feels like you've known them for 200 years. So neither of us can remember how we met. And Tracy has been providing complementary health and performance solutions for animals for over 18 years and is considered an expert in her field. She co-founded the Cranial Connection after leaving a long career in publishing at Forbes magazine, and she has been pursuing her work with animals since then. She grew up on a farm in Iowa surrounded by animals of all kinds, and today loves sharing her passion and making a difference in the lives of animals and their humans. She is an executive director for Acadia Equine Rehab and the Rocky Mountain School of Animal Acupressure and Massage, which is based in Colorado. Tracy has taught and studied with world-renowned pioneers in complementary and holistic health, including Linda Tellington, who I've also studied with, and that's one of the ways I know Tracy. And her approach integrates a broad range of different kinds of modalities, including craniosacral therapy for all species, equine and canine body work, including massage, trigger point therapy, biomechanics, and as I mentioned, T-touch, postural rehab, and shamanic healing work, herbalism, essential oils, and like me, she's a Reiki master. Tracy maintains that animals have been her most profound teachers, and her philosophy centers around working with the animal's whole being to achieve optimal health and balance. She strongly believes in sharing this information with the animal's caretakers. She is an expert mentor, speaker, and educator, and has been a contributing author for many magazines, newspapers, and books. She continues to lecture across the country, teaching massage, craniosacral therapy, herbalism, and energy work. She is based out of Colorado, and she's dedicated to giving back to the community. So she does a lot of volunteer work with animal rescue groups, therapeutic riding programs, 4-H animal shelters, and wild horse sanctuaries. And today I am so pleased to welcome Tracy to our show. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Sally. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm really excited. It's good to hear your voice. It's been a while.
I know. We just have not been in much contact lately because we're both working in the same field in different areas of the country. So tell me, how did you make that transition from working at Forbes magazine and understanding that you wanted to work with animals? What was the impetus to make that shift?
That's a really good question. Years ago, when I was in publishing, it's kind of a funny little story, but I was on a subway and I fell asleep, and I had this vision. I missed my stop, but I had this vision that I was surrounded on this huge, like, red clay mesa with sand everywhere. This herd of horses was running around me, and one of them flipped me in the air onto its back, and they said, you know, you really need to change your path. You're not on your path. You need to be working with animals. You need to get back to it, or it's not going to go well for you. So I woke up and said, I think I need a change, and started really looking at what I was passionate about in the world. And always it comes back to the animals. It has always been about what can I do to be in service to them. And so thinking about Linda and her first book that I read, which was, I can't remember the name of it, Sally, maybe you do, that one that's more like a story about how she started. And
oh, yeah, that first T-Touch book.
Yes, and my sister had given that book to me, and I thought, oh, this is really interesting. It grabbed my attention, and so I read the whole book cover to cover and said, I'm signing up for a class. And so that was my first foray into formal training with animals. I mean, I got my first horse at age 2, so they've always been with me, horses and dogs and cats. But anyway, that was my first class. It was Linda's class, so it was, and it hooked me. It got me hooked in.
Well, so many of us got our start with the wonderful Linda Tellington, and we are fortunate to have known her and for all the connections that she's brought to our lives. So how did you make that transition from working with just T-Touch to looking at other modalities? What was it that got you interested in other modalities?
I think probably it was that and it's been true of every modality I've learned over the years, is that some animal came along that I felt like, you know, as wonderful as T-Touch is, I just couldn't make the impact to help them, and I had to seek out something else. So, you know, it was one thing after another, but craniosacral piqued my interest after taking like a weekend Reiki workshop, and the Reiki master, Cindy out of Washington, was saying to me, I think you might be good at cranio work. And I said, I have no idea what that is. And she said, here's the person to study with. So it's like a lot of synchronicity for me, that when I would open my mind and my eyes and say, gosh, I'd really like to know something that would help this animal, all of a sudden the teacher would appear, and it would be very effortless. And so the craniosacral was the next course of study, and then I went back and did massage later. But cranio really hooked me because I have like this need to understand how the body works, even at a cellular level, all the way up, so at a macro and a micro level, both. So, but it also, the beautiful teachers I've had have introduce the spiritual aspect of it, the shamanic or the energy healing, in a very big way. And so that combination just really enticed me.
That's right. I remember one of our most memorable experiences together was when you came to the class that we did for upledger-based cranial work at my sister's farm in New Jersey, and you did beautiful work with a ferret because you were one of the only people in the group who had ever worked with a ferret, and we had a poor little guy who had fallen down a set of stairs and had compressed his whole skull, and everybody thought he would never hold still, and he was just kind of moving slowly up and down your arm as you were releasing the bones in his skull. And I think it was a profound teaching moment for everyone that was participating in the class. So from your perspective, even though I know some of the listeners might remember when Judy interviewed me and we talked about craniosacral therapy, can you just talk about what craniosacral therapy is so that people know where we're at?
Sure. For me, craniosacral is all about looking at the rhythms in the body that are created by the cerebrospinal fluid filling and releasing or being created and then being distributed through the nervous system. And in recent years, we've learned a whole bunch of new ways that the brain works, which is interesting to me because you and I have talked about that we, the craniotherapists, even though science was saying one thing, we all knew what was happening, you know, from being able to just be in the energy of the body and feeling it, but that rhythm is really an indicator of the health of the whole body. When that cranial rhythm, it's separate from heart rate and respiration, but when you feel that, it's a huge barometer of where there's adhesion in the fascial system, the connective tissues, the joints, you know, everything in the body is reflective. The health of the body is reflective, and vice versa, of a cranial rhythm. And so we can feel it even within the vitality of organs and glands. And so it's. I get so excited talking about it.
Well, so do I. I mean, one of the great things I love about craniosacral therapy is that it is a good modality to not only assess what's going on and what needs to be done, but it also provides you with the tools to actually treat what you find. And not every modality has that ability to help you assess and then treat what you find. And with the animals who can't talk to us with words, sometimes that's a really important thing.
Absolutely. It's the going into the body and letting the body tell us what's going on. The body tells us what's going on, and the body itself is a brilliant self-healer. And so what I love about craniosacral work, no matter the approach, like there's a lot of different approaches to the work, the one thing I think they for sure have in common is that the body knows best how to heal itself when given the opportunity. And so being a practitioner, you're the facilitator or the you're holding space for the animal to do its own healing by making a safe container, by suggesting energies, but really by truly deep stillness and listening.
That's right. That listening is such an important part of all of our relationships with animals. So tell me what you've noticed about the animals responding during a craniosacral therapy session that you find particularly interesting to you.
I always think it's funny, especially with the horse work. Well, I guess it's true of all the animals. You know, when you arrive at the session and they say, okay, they're not, you know, they don't like this and they don't like that. But when you really connect with them on a heart level, heart to heart, and you, I always say to myself, I'm here to be in service to you. Whatever I can do to facilitate what you need in this moment, I'll do. And all of a sudden, like the ferret just slowly moving and helping me release their part, they are an integral part of their healing. And so they settle in and they make that dropping. I think it feels like dropping into a pocket. It's like dropping into this deep state of being that you're both in. And that's when the magic happens, right?
Oh, yeah, and it's, you know, you kind of go on that journey with them in a cranial session, which I think is one of the most profound things about the work is the deep connection that it allows between you and the animal. And like you said, they all participate in the session. Unlike people, they don't have any real, you know, personal mechanism telling them to not move. You know, if the horse is stretching his neck and head and he'll tilt towards you and away from you and open his mouth, and they really facilitate the session, which I find just so profound in working with them.
It's so true. It's really helpful that they're in it, and when you bring attention to something, if you're drawn to a part of the body that they're challenged by, it feels like they say, oh yeah, that's where we need to look. And they're not attached to holding on to it like a lot of people are. The animals do have the ego structure, which gives them personality, but they don't have the same ego structure we do in that, I always say this to my students when I'm teaching a crania workshop, is that humans hold on to their stuff, their baggage and their trauma like it's gold. And animals, they're like, oh yeah, I don't need that. Let's get rid of that. If it means me being in balance and I can move more freely or I can feel happier, they're more than willing to let it go.
That's right. They do really want to find health, and for them that includes the emotional health. Although, have you seen in some cases, as I have, that occasionally an animal is holding on to something because they're trying to benefit the person they're with?
For sure. I think there's a lot of mirroring that happens, that they're taking it on for their person, or they're supporting their person by holding a pattern. And what is really cool about crania work, in my experience, when we can look at that and have a dialogue with the person together, because so my deep philosophy for me is that when I'm called in to work with an animal, the primary relationship is the human with the animal that I'm being asked to work with. So I'm facilitating their relationship line as well in any way I can. So if that's happening and the person's unaware, now we can have a dialogue that says, hey, you can help your person release this, but you don't take it on yourself. We release it to the earth, we release it to the sun, or whatever the process is. But this allows the person to release a trauma as well as the animal, and nobody has to hold it.
Right. That is so true. And so many times when I've gone to work with riders in particular, I'll start by working with their horse a few sessions, and then, you know, the horse is almost calling me on the phone and saying, please help my person, because then I end up doing sessions with the human, which then translates to that person being a more balanced and comfortable rider, and then the horse is happier as well.
Absolutely. It's both. You know, it's everything influences everything, including those relationship lines. And so however we can facilitate a release, we do it.
So you also do different kinds of energy work with animals. So can you talk about energy work and define that a little bit for some of our listeners who might not be so familiar with that?
Sure. Energy work for me is intricately woven through the cranial work, and I've studied shamanic work for many, many years with different teachers. And what that means is just looking at what's creating the physical. The energy is, you know, whether we can take it back to like a cell phone signal, it's an unseen, it can be felt, but it doesn't necessarily have to be seen. So when we talk about the vibration or frequency within the body or the energy field around it, we're looking at balancing that in the same way that we balance the physical body. But when we look at energy with the animals, super important because they have even more honed perception. Humans, that we have so much in our lives like cell phones and TVs and computers that interrupt our frequency and our ability to see and feel things. The animals, you know, I guess the dogs do when they're in the house with us, but especially horses are outside. They're in nature. And so they're hyper aware of everything that's around them. And that's energy, right? So the energy of, you know, when the vet truck pulls up, that creates a certain energy, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, and even the energy between the person who's maybe the farm manager and different horses in the barn and different trainers, it really shifts everything in the barn for the horses when there's any kind of change in the energy of a neutral situation.
Sure. They sense the emotion way before they see. I mean, they are seeing the physical manifestation, but us, when we pull up and we're in a crabby mood and we get out and we're going to go ride our horse to feel better, they're a little bit like, wait a minute, I don't want someone that who has that energy on my back. And so they'll start to behave in a certain way, right? They're responding to purely to our energy in that moment. So the brilliance of animals is that they're so in the present moment, they're authentically responding to us in that moment. And so the practitioner, whatever you're doing, whether it's energy work or a combination of energy within cranial work, you have to manage your own energy and know what's yours and what you're presenting, right?
Oh, yeah, the practitioner's energy level is so important. And we know that from T-Touch, where they talk about meet the animal where he's at, which is everything in your body energetically has to match where that animal is, and then as you shift, the animal can shift with you. It's such an important part of working with animals, no matter you're a chiropractor, a massage therapist, a veterinarian, or even a groomer, I think.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter. We're all interacting with each other, and I like what you were saying about like how everything in the horse's environment, the dog's environment, impacts them, whether it's trainer, farrier, whoever. When we look at treatment or working with doing a session, energy work allows me to look at more of a global view. We call it, you know, in the shaman world, we'd call it the bird's eye view. Like, can we look at all the interfaces or the interactions and relationship lines? How are they impacting the animal? Because the animal itself may have something going on, but it can be a reflection of everything in their environment or a specific thing in their environment. And then we can take it to a deeper level and look internally at what's going on for them personally. So it's really interesting to me to look at all these different views.
It's so true. I mean, our impact on our animals is so profound just with our mood and our stance and how we're feeling that day. One of the things I think about as a visible manifestation of working with energy was a time when I was working with one of your personal horses using the tuning forks, and I was standing far away from his body, and everyone watching could see changes in him based on what he liked and didn't like, just about the vibrations, like the literal vibrations from the tuning forks in the air. And that's something that I think people can understand a little bit more from sound waves, but there are these energetic fields around animals, and as we come into them, we are either meshing with them or disrupting and ruffling them a bit. And I think the energy work is so important for animals, and for people to understand that importance, I think, is vital.
Right. I think it is. It's very true. And it's the difference, I think, when I've watched body workers, whatever the modality, there are people who are super mindful And they're really, like, even how they place their hand, it's from the, every movement they make looks graceful, and they're doing as little as possible to disrupt the energy field as well as the tissue. And so you're walking like, I don't remember where I heard this first, it wasn't from me originally, but walking like a chameleon and moving like that through the body so you do not create any additional turbulence, trauma, or dissonance. So even from that moment of slowly placing your hand on the sacrum or the, you know, the top of the croup of a horse, you know, how you do that is really an impact of the whole session. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, and it's so true. And I think one of the interesting things of your work, you know, craniosacral therapy has its roots in Native American healing techniques, as does some of the shamanic work that, I mean, many Native cultures have shamanic work as part of their traditions. But I think that craniosacral lends itself especially well to combining with shamanic healing techniques. Can you talk about how you use those two modalities in your work?
Yes, it's at this point I can't even separate the two, because as I'm looking and working in the body, the shamans will look for what's in fluidity and communication, so what's right with the body. And when we see where there's flow, it's very obvious where there's lack of flow, but we're focused on flow. So if I'm thinking about like some tight back muscles, I will find the area that has movement, focus there, and maybe light, the way we would think about it is that area has more light or has more movement. And so when you hang out in an area that has more movement, it starts to spread and go through the rest of the body. So the way I work with light and frequency and energy is shamanic in nature, but it can be utilized as a tool through the cranial lens, or the craniosacral lens. So I'm literally putting my hands on the body, and my hands create a focal point for light to be able to come in from universal life force. And that can be full spectrum, individual frequencies, like the colors of the rainbow, or it can be white light, or some variation of that. And in doing so, bringing energy or vitality in, the body will grab it and use it. The body will pull it in and put it where it needs to go to create that and restore that fluidity.
It's so interesting what you said about the shamanic perspective, looking to see what's right with the body, where there's flow, where there's light and movement, because I think a lot of alternative modalities focus on what's right and not what's wrong, which is such a hallmark of Western medicine with the diagnosing of what's wrong. And I think with cranial work and shamanic work and so many other things we do with these alternative modalities, we're really looking at what is going right, because the being in front of you has been functioning and has been doing well. So let's enhance that rather than disrupt it.
Right, and it gives us the opportunity to be without attachment, without judgment. It's like, what if we do have an older dog or horse or person who has a compensation pattern that I think, if I stay in my brain, you know, if I'm really analyzing it, because my eye's very educated in what's wrong, because that's like you said, you learn that in the it's like a Western approach. You look and say, oh gosh, there's an asymmetry there. In my brain wants to say, let's create symmetry. However, if I choose to do that and I override the body's innate healer, inner wisdom, what if I create a worse patterning? Like, they need that compensation because they have had a back fracture or something that they need to move that way, or they need to be in posture that way to be balanced. That is balance for them.
That is so true and so important, to not want to change what's there, but allow the body to make its own changes. I think that's a really critical part of cranial work and shamanic work.
For sure. It's the crux of it, because if I choose for the body, I will probably choose incorrectly, because I'm coming from a linear state and space instead of like that expanded shamanic way of looking, which is be very expanded and let the body tell you what it needs and let the body choose.
That is so true. To let the body choose what it needs, that makes a huge difference in any kind of healing modality. And we're just about at the point where we need to take a break so that we can hear from our sponsors. And we'll be back in a few minutes with more of our show. We'll be right back.
Interested in learning more? Visit physical therapist Sally Morgan's website at sallymorganpt.com, where you will find details about her upcoming speaking engagements, craniosacral therapy, and Tellington T-Touch offerings, as well as information about holistic care for animals. Join the mailing list today and be the first to learn about upcoming events and special offers. Sally Morgan is a best-selling author, and her book, Dances of the Heart, Connecting with Animals, details her journey of learning to listen to animals. Her unique set of animal connection cards offers 52 activities to enhance your relationships with the animals in your life, and she suggests that you ask your pet to choose a card each week. Both Sally's book and her cards are available on Amazon and her website, sallymorganpt.com. Join Sally Morgan PT CST Daily on Facebook for conversations with a corgi, and visit YouTube for past episodes as well as Sally's TED Talk. When it comes to our pet's health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, pure New Zealand deer antler velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit DAVLife.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show, where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand deer antler velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Hello and welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on DreamVision7Radio.com. And I'm your host, holistic physical therapist for pets and people, and Dr. Judy Morgan's sister, Sally Morgan. And I'm here with my guest today, Tracy Broom, who's a holistic healer for animals. And we've been talking about the universal life force. And many of us as Reiki practitioners, as Tracy and I am, know about the universal life force from that work. But Tracy, could you tell us more about the universal life force in your work as a shaman and in craniosacral therapy?
Yes. When I think about the body and I think about the cells themselves, Bruce Lipton's work comes to mind as a big influence of my work, and also just it's helped me to understand why I see what I see. And when I look at the body at the cellular level, each cell that's healthy and vital is filled with light, which for me is universal life force. It's an animation that gives the cell its energy, its health, and when it's healthy, it's lit. When it's not healthy, according to Bruce, it's dim, or it's starting to dim down and eventually becomes darkened and then no longer holds life force. So it is a dead cell. So when I'm working with an animal and I have my hands on them, I can look at the cells and their vitality and how much life force they have, and perhaps help the cells regain light by bringing light into the body. And so that's much more in the shamanic realm of moving light in from source into the body to help support the structures. But it can be not just at a cellular level, like individual cell. It can be with like a group of cells, an organ, a muscle, wherever. So we can clear heavy energy, or we can work within the cell's parameters of what it needs.
That is so true. And I think that idea of bringing light, not just to a cell, but to the whole body, is so important. And I'm reminded, as you're speaking, I believe I was talking to you about doing a kind of healing for like an entire herd of horses, to bring light to a whole herd where there may have been a particularly bad trainer at a farm or something. Can you say more about working with horses as a group?
Yes, it's interesting to me when I'm called out to work with a horse and the person will say, this horse is not fitting into the herd, or there's some energy that's created dissonance, and all of a sudden the herd starts to push a horse out, or they start to bicker amongst themselves. There seems to be this unrest. We can look at where there's harmony and where there's dissonance, and I hold the energy or ask light to come in and harmonize the energy fields. So when we're looking at a big herd, it doesn't matter the number, it could be 2, it could be 20, we're looking at what's in harmony. And if I can focus and ask them to focus on what's harmonious, it's like the orchestra when it's warming up. At first, it's this bunch of different noises, and then it becomes music. That's what it's like when the herd is harmonized.
That's a lovely example.
Thank you. They're amazing what they teach us. I tell you, they've shown me this. And when you do that, and when you restore harmony, the herd is harmonious. They're back to getting along.
Yeah, it's really interesting. One of the things I'm becoming more aware of, and I'm sure this has occurred to you when you're working with horses, is they have very strong family ties. And in the way that horses have been treated with humans for so many years, the families are broken apart. And more horses I come across live in their family units for their entire lives with people who really care about them. Can you say something about the family ties and the horses you've worked with, or even their friendships?
Yes, it's really important to them, and because they're a herd animal, what I find is that, and I don't think we do this to be disconnected from them or mean, of course. When we move a horse out of a herd and they're sold or they're moved on, or a horse passes that's within a herd, I don't know that we humans as a whole understand what that means to them and how it impacts them. And, you know, when I look at horses being imported and exported, it's really difficult for them because they're being taken from their home and their family circle where they feel comfortable and they're confident, and we take them and plunk them from, say, Germany to the U.S., it's a really different frequency. It's a different energy, and they aren't with their herd anymore. And I think they feel very disconnected and displaced.
It's true. A lot of the horses are so ungrounded when they first come here from another place.
Yes, and they don't understand the frequencies. It takes some time I guess it would be like us traveling to another country. When you first get there, there's a little bit of like that uncertainty of like, it's a different language, it's a different culture. And so we're excited to be there, but there's a little bit of unrest, right? We're only there visiting. The poor horses are coming from other countries and being here for the rest of their lives. So I think that we have to really take that into account in helping them to adjust and understanding that some of their behavioral issues can be the result of that.
It's true. I have noticed that horses that come to this country, maybe from the same place, like I knew two horses from Denmark that arrived here, and boy, when they met at this barn, they were best buddies. It was like literally they spoke the same language, but it gets back to that idea of them being on the same frequency. And I remember one time I was working with you, we had a really profound session where a horse I was working with was dying, and you were calling in the ancestral herd, and he lifted his head and whinnied as we spoke to the horses that who were across the Rainbow Bridge, and it was so clear that he could see them and he was going to them, and he was kind of a studly guy and he was whinnying to all the cute mares, and it was just such a fascinating experience. Can you talk about animals and their passing and the animals that are across the Rainbow Bridge?
Yes, it's a huge part of my practice, and working in the world of spirit is part of the shamanic work. So the animals, what I can understand from them and what they show me is that the veil between the world is very thin for them, in the sense that they can see the other side or go to the other side even when they're in their physical bodies. And so facilitating the crossing over is just like doing cranial work, in the sense that you're focused on where they want to go and where they're headed, and you just help ease the way. So doing a shamanic call, what we call a calling, is asking the beings of the ancestor herd, and for those of you who haven't heard of that term, for me, they're the horse angels. They're the spirit horses who've been in physical form, or they don't have to have been here in physical form. They can be just a pure spirit that represents the collective of horse. And those are big healer energies. So when we're looking at a horse that's about to cross over, working with them by creating the intention of making an ease of passage, or showing them the beings on the other side are waiting for them, it makes it much softer. They see all that. They experience that. We I think are born with that, Sally, but we don't cultivate that.
Oh, it's so true. And do you think, I mean, just now as you're speaking, I'm thinking, when the horse is dying, we're with them and we're helping them connect with where they're going. What a difference it would make for some of these imported horses, or horses even being sold across the United States, or even moving just to a farm 75 miles away, if we could do a journey with them to help them feel the frequency of the new area and settle in.
It's similar to what we were talking about before. You're right. If we harmonize a herd, we can harmonize the horses with each other, facilitate that. We can facilitate them being connected and grounded to the earth where they're going to live. And so, in essence, harmonization doesn't mean making something match something else. It means coming into right relationship with it. And so helping them by holding space for them and helping them understand those frequencies is huge.
Yeah, it could really help them settle. I mean, horses have a really unique situation. We don't typically find dogs going from home to home to home. It's horses that do that. And I think it is really hard for them with the new herd mates and the new riders, and you know, it certainly does happen for dogs when they are in rescue and go to foster home and foster home, and maybe the new home that they get isn't the right one and they come back. But I think that constant shifting can be so unsettling for an animal, and we ask horses to do that so much of their lives.
That's very true, and I with the dogs, you know, one of the things I had an aha a few years ago, I donated a craniosacral workshop to a shelter, a group of amazing shelter workers in Visalia, California. And what we noticed with the, we brought in, I think there were 20 dogs that were probably the most unadoptable dogs of the shelter. Like, they had some behavioral stuff, or maybe they were really shut down. When we started to work with this belief system or this philosophy that they've been displaced and they just can't find their firm footing, they're not on firm ground, they don't understand what's happening, when we bring them back to themselves and see them in a way that's truly from the heart, and we help them with their chakras and we help them with their energy field, and we can talk more about this concept, but the power centers of the body, when we access that with them, they start to come back to themselves, and then the true soul of the animal can be seen, and they're adoptable. All 20 dogs are adopted within a month of us teaching that class, doing that class together. That just blew me away.
Oh, yeah, the energy is so influential on their behavior. And what we see as bad behavior, you know, disruptive behavior, really can be affected by such subtle energies as flower essences and energetic healing work. It's incredible how profound something that seems invisible, really, or subtle, like a Bach flower remedy, can make such a difference in an animal's behavior.
Huge. It's huge. And it can be life and death, right? When we think about...
Oh, yeah, there's shelter dogs.
Or animals in rescue, like horses that go, you know, something goes awry. They hit a tipping point where there's a lot of physical issues and then there's some emotional baggage. And that combination affects the mental realm, which we know. And they start to become one of those reactive problem horses. What happens? They either get sold or they go to the auction.
Yeah, so there is such a need for people to do this healing work with them, to help them integrate into their environment in a way that allows them to have a calmer behavior so that they have better lives. You talked about the power centers and the chakras, and I know when we were working with that horse, I was observing and reporting to you about his chakras shutting down from the base and root chakra all the way up to his third eye when he eventually crossed the Rainbow Bridge. Can you say more about the power centers and the chakras?
Sure. When the chakras are in balance and they're rotating clockwise and they're in alignment and harmonized, it's an indicator that the energy field is intact and healthy, and that in turn they go directly into the central nervous system, which, again, is why it pairs so beautifully with cranial work, because we're working in the nervous system. But when those are healthy and spinning properly, it anchors the soul into the body. When the soul starts to leave the body, they will begin to turn counterclockwise or unwind from the physical body and to allow the soul to cross. And so there's varying degrees of how we would describe a health of a chakra or an imbalance in the chakra, but to me, that's fascinating. When we were working with the horse you're talking about, I remember like there were a few chakras that hadn't started to spin counterclockwise to allow him ease of passage. So you did that with, I think you did it with tuning forks and craniosacral. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I was using a pendulum and cranial to help him close down those chakras gradually.
Yeah, so the closing down feels like they move counterclockwise, and so once that happens, the soul can leave the body and they cross the Rainbow Bridge. But it, you know, in the shelters, because of trauma and things that are held in the body, non-optimal things from their experiences, that doesn't happen as easily. So one of the things I was teaching this group of shelter workers was that if a dog did have to be crossed over, that they could help facilitate that like you did for this horse. So anyway, I think it's a big gift to be able to ease the crossing, make it smoother.
You are so right about that, and it's once again time for us to take another break to hear from our sponsors. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets with physical therapist for pets and people, Sally Morgan, your host on Dream Vision 7 Radio. We'll be right back with you in a few moments.
Interested in learning more? Visit physical therapist Sally Morgan's website at sallymorganpt.com, where you will find details about her upcoming speaking engagements, craniosacral therapy, and Tellington T-Touch offerings, as well as information about holistic care for animals. Join the mailing list today and be the first to learn about upcoming events and special offers. Sally Morgan is a best-selling author, and her book, Dances of the Heart, Connecting with Animals, details her journey of learning to listen to animals. Her unique set of animal connection cards offers 52 activities to enhance your relationships with the animals in your life, and she suggests that you ask your pet to choose a card each week. Both Sally's book and her cards are available on Amazon and her website, sallymorganpt.com. Join Sally Morgan PT CST Daily on Facebook for conversations with a corgi, and visit YouTube for past episodes as well as Sally's TED Talk.
When it comes to our pets' health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, pure New Zealand deer antler velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit DAVLife.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand deer antler velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, and I'm holistic physical therapist and Dr. Judy's sister, Sally Morgan. And we're here with my guest today and my longtime friend, Tracy Vroom, who does shamanic and craniosacral therapy with animals. And we were talking about the chakras, also called the power centers of the body, and how she was teaching shelter workers to work with the chakras to help the animals that do need to put down. Thanks, Tracy.
Sure. So we were talking about the shelter animals, and I want to talk about, so chakras are important, and they are power centers. There are three really important aspects of power centers, the way that I've been working with this, and this is more shamanic in nature than cranio. I see them in, there are three of them, and they, so there's one in the head, one in the chest, and one in the pelvis. These are, they create these balls. They look like balls of light. They're connected with the light line. And so what does that mean? It means that this creates a the self-healing triangle of the body. So it's this beautiful connectivity from the head to the hind end to the chest and back to the head. So think about this flow of energy. They directly correlate with chakras. So the head power center correlates to the crown chakra and the third eye. The chest is the heart chakra. The pelvis is the sacral chakra. So when we look at these, when an animal who's in a shelter or in a rescue or even who's owned by somebody or being in a private facility, those are not turned on. Typically, they're very dim and they're disconnected. So those horses will be, or dogs will be, having physical and emotional challenges. When we ask those to light up through the cranial work or through the shamanic work, it activates their self-healing mechanism. And the animal showed this to me many years ago, and I haven't really talked about it outside of my courses, my craniosacral workshops and my energy workshops, but I wanted to introduce it here because I feel like it's something that a lot of people could learn to help with, and it might intrigue or resonate with people. So when we look at these power centers, you know, Sally and I were just talking about the core essence of an animal. When we talk about in Chinese, traditional Chinese medicine, like what is an animal? Are they a water animal? Are they metal? Are they wood? It can go beyond that to other frequencies like crystal horses and rainbow horses. And that appears to me in that power center. So I see an image of that in the power center when I'm working with the animal.
That is so true. And I think people that are sensitive to energy can kind of feel that sort of feeling from their own horse, even if they are given the opportunity to, you know, go to a quiet place and feel if their horse is a crystal and what kind of crystal, or raindrops or snow, or as you said, rainbows and clouds even.
For sure. And when I used to edit that and not tell people what I was seeing. And when I, the horses said, you can't do that anymore. You have to share this. So I started telling people, oh gosh, this horse is feels like a rainbow horse to me. And they would start to get teary eyed and say, I've always thought that every time I think about this horse when I'm not with them, I see a rainbow, or they carry that energy. So it's really interesting when you start to bring that up. I think a lot of people are tapped into that, a lot more than we probably think.
I think so, and I think it's really important to give people permission to speak about that and to share it with their friends and their people who feel like they do, even if they're not necessarily an animal person, a healer or something. And I know my own horse, Burgers, who you met, he definitely had a lot of earth energy throughout his life, but as he got older, that definitely shifted. And I think of a rainbow as a transitional place between the earth and the sky, and of course the Rainbow Bridge. And as he was getting older and older, there was more and more color in him and less earth and a more lightness. And I started painting glitter on his hooves and braiding colored ribbons in his mane and just treating him more like a My Little Pony, because he had this lightness to him when his whole life he had had this kind of heavy, wise, elder earth energy. So I think it's really important to support people in feeling that in their dogs or their cats or their horses.
Yes, it's part of the empowering the guardian or the caretaker of the animal and enforcing what they already know to be true of who that horse is. You know, when they're a fire horse, if you work with a fire horse with more fire, what do you get?
A big fire.
Yeah, right, an inferno.
It's like feeding chicken to a fire dog.
Right. Exactly. I think so. We could look at these horses as, or dogs or people, we all have power centers and we all have core essences. And so really embracing that and celebrating it, I think, is important.
So a lot of people I know who are shamans have spirits and animal guides that help them. So can you tell me about any helper spirits you have and how they assist you in your work? Are they animals you've really known, or more of a universal type of animal?
Sure. It evolves over the years, and I think there's a lot of different belief systems with regard to animal totems. There's, you know, the belief that we're born under a certain sun and moon, and that the animal that correlates to that time is your guardian and guide. I personally work with the ancestor herd and unicorns, and in for some people, unicorns can be, oh gosh, Tracy, that's made up, and they question it. But the frequency of unicorn energy is celestial, and so when I'm, you know what I mean, they're very magical. So if I want big magic, I've got to call in big magic.
That's all for today. Find more answers to your questions next time on Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time by going to DreamVision7Radio.com. Join holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy to discover healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Visit DrJudyMorgan.com to learn more.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.